Lord, would you bless our time together today? Lord, very important subject today. I pray that you'll give me the wisdom on how to give this. And Lord, would you work mightily, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the very first essential that we covered a few weeks ago, anybody remember? Get up on time. All right, with purpose. Okay. So at least you're here. That means you at least had some victory in that this morning. So that is great. Not an easy day to get up on, but and it is so vital. We covered that 2 weeks, so I won't review on that. And then when you get up and get going, what needs to be the very first thing on the agenda? Anybody remember? Excuse me? Time with the Lord, and we looked primarily at the Word of God last time and all the reasons why that is so crucial to change our thinking, perspective, to allow God to work, and it is so important. And tied with that is now the lesson, chapter 5, powering up for a great day through the matter of prayer. And this subject is so key. As you look at all that you have to do and all the pressures you have of the responsibilities in your situation, the key to be able to face that, handle it properly, not have anxiety and stress, to be able to be effective through a day, manage your time properly, is to spend that time in the Word and then in prayer. And so I'm going to emphasize some of the things she emphasized and then maybe go a step further on this. She talks about the fact that God is available 24/7. And, you know, we have automatic full access to most of the people we know through all the technology today, which is nice. And yet our direct line to God is not used a lot, and unless we're in a real emergency. And I would submit to you that the reason we don't pray throughout the day is we don't start the day in prayer. I'll have people tell me, well, you know, I don't have time in the morning to pray, but I pray throughout the day. And I usually, if it's somebody I'm really trying to help, I'll say, all right, give me examples. And then I begin to realize, no, I don't do it all that much. Well, I know you don't do it all that much, because if you're not in tune with God and in a relationship with Him through an extended time in the morning, you're going to have a very hard time being God conscious throughout the day. But it is a thrill to know every moment of the day you can have, what is that? I thought it was alarm, so. All right, I tell you, on a cold day, anything can happen. So my ears are perked up. If it was tomorrow, of course, we wouldn't be having this on that weather. But anyway, let me get my, where was I at? On the, praying throughout the day. It's a wonderful thing to be able to do that and to be conscious of the Lord. But if you don't pray regularly, you won't pray and take advantage of the wonderful relationship you can have with the Lord. Honestly, it is possible, folks, to walk with life every day through life with the Lord right there with you and a conscious communication with Him. I have mentioned a number of times I had the privilege of growing up in a home and where I got to spend time with some of the people we now read biographies about, you know, and it's a real privilege. And I've been with several men, and they're talking to the Lord. You're talking to them, now, Lord, you heard that. Now, what do you think about that? You know, it just, boom, just constantly, just as though He was there. He is, you see. Prayer is an awareness of the relationship that we have with the Lord. But the emphasis in this lesson is that we need to start the day in a full fellowship with the Lord through determined Bible reading. asking the Spirit of God to illumine us and to spend a lengthy time in prayer so that our heart is where it ought to be, so that we have praised the Lord and all the different things that need to be done. And yet, have you ever noticed that really making your prayer time happen may be one of the most difficult things that you do? You know, here you have the sweetest privilege in the world to talk to God. We can go boldly to the throne of grace. He's the one that cares more than anybody else. He loves us. He'll take away the pressures. He'll take away the anxieties. I mean, it is a sweet, sweet time for us, and yet we find that it is such a battle. Well, I think you've got to understand, this is not just a discipline. This is a spiritual battle. When you wake up to the fact that Satan does not want you to pray, then you'll begin to realize some of the things that happen to you make sense. See, even if you read your Bible, that's okay if you're not really spiritually walking with God. But if you pray with power, that's the one way he gets overcome. So his guns are going to be unleashed on you in this matter of being regular in prayer, because he wants to discourage you with that, get you thinking about things. Remember last week I said, all right, you have this great victory, you get up when you were supposed to get up, you prepared things the night before, you're ready to go, but in your mind you think about four or five things I got to get done fast before I have my devotions. And those four or five things take up about half of what time you're going to have, if not all of it, and you lose that opportunity. And do you think maybe some of that thought process might be a spiritual battle? Ever occurred to you when you get up in the morning, you know, I better go do this? Well, you weren't playing that the night before. You know, it might just be your natural desire to get things done, or it just might be a spiritual battle. That's why I do encourage you, that first conscious moment, say, Lord, I love you. Would you guide me? Would you help me? And when you get up, say, Lord, I've got to spend time with you, and I've got to get there as quickly as possible. And so... think, and those of you with younger children, you know, your child is supposed to sleep into such and such a time. Have you ever noticed right at the time you're ready to go for devotion, something happens with your kids? You get a phone call. By the way, keep the cell phone away. Solves the problem. Well, what if it's an emergency? Well, your husband can handle the situation, or somebody can handle it. But you just have to make some of those provisions, because Satan loves to use phone calls. How many times have you been witnessing and somebody's about to, ready to accept Christ, and they get a phone call? Well, that's no accident. I mean, I've seen that over and over and over. It's amazing. I'll be preaching, and right at a crisis time or right at the invitation, especially if it's salvation, off goes a cell phone real loud and the person can't find it, or a kid starts crying and becomes quite a scene or something, and I just immediately realize this is a battle. This means something is going on and God's working. And so learn to be very sensitive to that practical reality, because if you know that the time that you're going to be able to spend in the Word in an extended time of prayer, like we suggest the hour with God, if you know that the only way that's going to happen is from this time after you get up to this time, well, then that just has to be priority. And you've got to realize it's your flesh isn't going to want to do it. And you're going to have Satan taking advantage of just regular human things. But if you take the step of faith, go for it and get started. Boy, I'm telling you, just 2 minutes into it, you're so thankful. And it'll be a blessing. All righty. 10 reasons we don't pray, she brings up, and I think are good. Let me just go over those with you. I think it's very interesting. She starts with worldliness. We constantly have a temporal mindset, not a spiritual mindset. in our distracted world today, this is one of the biggest things that I'm finding, is that spiritual reality, the wonderful relationship we can have. I often have to speak on it because it is the problem of modern life. We don't think on those things. We have all kinds of things that come at us. And so if we allow ourselves to be more concerned about the typical things in the world, I'm not talking about extreme worldliness, I'm talking about temporal mindedness, then prayer isn't going to be that important, because you're living, and here's the best way to put it, how do I know if I'm living in a worldly mindset? Well, it would be the same kind of life a really good conservative, unsaved person would live. In other words, the same things that motivate, same things that are important. I'm talking about a really conservative person, but they're not walking with God. And if you can just get through a day and not talk to the Lord much, and not aware of spiritual things, don't have a burden, or not being a blessing to somebody else, you haven't sensed His power, you haven't had His guidance, that's worldliness. That's just living according to the course of this world. So I appreciate how, like she says at the end, why do I need to talk to God? I got everything I need without bothering to pray. In other words, if you have a spiritual mindset, boy, without God, I'm done, if this is what's really important. But if it's just the typical existence, then why bother? I trust you'll think about that. That was very wise that she put that first. I don't know if I would have thought about that first, but I think that's very wise. And then folding right into that, it's almost the same thing. Number two is busyness. We just don't take time or effort. We don't make it priority. We have so many details. And remember, your to-do list can be a great enemy of yours. Never have a to-do list, have a priority planning list where first things are first, and you put a lot of the more, you got to get them done, but the lesser things at a lower level of what you have to get done, because you at the most will get 60% of what you plan to get done. A lot of times it's 50%, and if you put, you just sort of have a to-do list and you start knocking things off and don't have priority with your time with the Lord, well, then it's never going to get there. So that's busyness is a big issue. And I like the way she put it. Number three, foolishness. Whenever we're consumed with what's foolish, trivial, and meaningless, we fail to pray. We begin to lose our ability to know the difference between what is good and what is evil, between what is essential and what is eternal, has little eternal value. Everything becomes a gray area which doesn't require prayer. Can we fritter away time? Can we be somewhat mindless in our life? Yeah, we can. You know, sometimes you can have an hour-long conversation with somebody on the phone and it was sort of fun, but it really was sort of foolish. Now, sometimes you just need to have fun on the phone. Again, I've got to put this all in perspective. But, well, what happens to the hour with God? Or there can just be really, you know, surfing the web can be a really foolish thing to do. It can have a lot of problems, materialism, and all kinds of things. Do not surf the Amazon web. Not a good thing, okay? There's always a deal, and once you do, you will be hit with that for a long time. So learn to be extremely careful with your time. It's interesting, number four, distance. We have no problem talking with our family and friends. In fact, we could talk for hours, and sometimes we do, but talk to someone outside your circle or a visitor at the church or a new woman at Bible study, that takes a little more effort. It's the same with talking with God. When your relationship with Him isn't maintained and nurtured regularly, you feel like you are talking to a stranger and find it hard to talk to your Heavenly Father. You're tongue-tied. Remember I talked about praying throughout the day? You won't pray throughout the day unless you're just talking to Him fully in the morning. And it ought not be unreal. I like to, part of my prayer time, I'll pray out loud, because I just think it's a good thing for me to verbalize to the Lord. It also helps me concentrate. When I'm in the spiritual warfare section, I definitely pray out loud. And other times, praising the Lord and so forth. And I'm sure if people hear me, they think I'm talking to myself, but that's okay. And But are you awkward with that? That'll be as natural as anything to stop and pray with your child. You know, one of the things that we try to do as husband and wife is that when we have a need, immediately stop. We prayed this morning about something, just, you know, probably wasn't more than a minute, but it's just natural. That's what you want, just naturally talking to God. And it ought not be awkward for you to do it with somebody else or lead somebody else in prayer. It ought to be just part of your life because He's here. You can talk to Him. He's ready. He's burdened for you. He knows the need. You know you need wisdom. And so it ought to just be part of your life. And that's why you must start with that, or you will be a stranger and awkward when you pray. And you ought not ever be thrown about praying publicly. A person that prays in private will be able to pray if they need to, you know, in public. And so obviously we don't call on ladies to pray usually in the services, but we have our corporate prayer times here. And I feel it's very important for ladies as well as men to be able to pray. I think I told you about, did I tell you what my wife got caught in? I think I did, didn't I? Where were we at? Kenya, yeah, the commencement, and they had the dedication of the cake, and they had my wife. It's a tradition that the woman of honor is the one that prays the dedication on the cake. She was shocked. It was the funniest look on her face when she was, of course, she composed herself quite well and prayed quite well, but got to be ready. You never know when you're going to be called on to pray, and that was in front of hundreds of people in a very formal setting, you know. But it was, we were down on the ground there, and they had this massive cake for the 10th anniversary of the college there, so that was fun. All right, ignorance, number five. We're clueless about how prayer works, and we don't understand how it helps or fits into our relationship with God and making right choices. In essence, we really don't understand God's love for us and His power to make our lives better. Now, this is one of the things that's been a joy for me in regard to the Hour with God Christ Walk Journal, because people really do have a hard time. Lengthy time of prayer, I don't know what to say. I don't know what parts of it I need. You know, what do I do? And a simple plan like that, that's measurable, you know, obviously it's not the only way to do it, but it just helps you. You have praise and you have waiting on God, you have a confession, and then you've got spiritual warfare, which is so important, and then going over the promises that God has given you, then intercession for a good 10 minutes and petitions, and then you have thanksgiving, and then you meditate on Scripture and read Scripture and pray that Scripture, and then waiting, and then listening to God for direction and getting wisdom, and then final praise and singing. That goes just like that if you do that properly, but that helps you with ignorance. In other words, what do I do for prayer? It's good to get a plan, and God can help shape that. I think it's very important to be definite, because there's another place that Satan can get to you. If you just sort of mindlessly say it's time to pray, you don't have prayer lists laid out, you don't have promises written out, you don't have material that's good to pray over, do you think your mind can sort of wander? Do you think Satan can discourage you? At the very time you ought to be encouraged, do you think Satan might make it to where you view prayer as a battle? Now, prayer can be a spiritual battle, but you're on the offensive and you know what God's working. It's not where you're being attacked, per se. And that's what happens when we're in a passive mode when we go to the matter of prayer. So I cannot urge you enough. I was just in Atlanta, Georgia on Saturday. That was nice, 50 degrees. But anyway, I was with Brother Ingram just for a day-long seminar on Sunday school, small groups and all. It's been exciting to see how the Lord has worked. But it was a year and a half, more than about a year and three quarters ago, I had did a prayer seminar there with about 50, 60 of their people. They have really embraced the Hour with God, the Christ Walk Journal. And it was just a massive blessing to just hear them talking about it, and they're excited about it. And I thought, you know, that it does make a difference. I have opportunity to go back to different places where we have presented that, and to see some of the folks really take hold on it, it does make a difference, ladies. So if you have a plan too, by the way, when you have a plan, it's easier for you to push off Satan's attack to not do it. In other words, you know where you're going to pray, you know exactly how you're going to do it, and you've even got your materials there to do it. I have my everything I need right where I'm going to pray. In my sheets for the Christ Walk Journal, everything, I keep that up to date there. So I know, and you get excited. Okay, here I go, I've got it ready, I have a pattern, and this is what I'm going to do. Rather than, well, I'm supposed to pray. You can get yourself in trouble if you don't watch out. Remember, just spiritual passivity is Satan's playground. You've got to be active when you are communicating with God. And then sinfulness. And this is, again, very helpful. We don't pray because we know we've done something wrong. You don't talk to your dad when you have to confess something unless you're ready to confess it, you know, as a kid. And it's really true. You know, when a person's not right with God, prayer, oh, they might go through lip service to make them feel good and to check off and get a brownie point, but they're not going to have an extended time of prayer. I can tell you that, unless you're ready to confess. And by the way, that's why it's so important to have the first 5 minutes of praise, the second 5 minutes of waiting on God, thinking about the Trinity and all that He is. Then you get to confession. God's got a hold of your heart, and you can know He'll take care of you, and He will forgive. And it's such an important time. So that's why I love that pattern of that. And so, you know, it could be that there's something just laying on your heart and you know is not right, and it just seems like you get checked right when it's time to pray. It could be that that's what you need to deal with. Faithlessness, another big one. We really don't believe in the power of prayer. I'm amazed how much teaching out there undermines the reality of prayer. You know, it's, well, God says, yes, no, maybe. Well, that's a big help. You know, no way. Now, obviously, if we pray according to our lust, we're not going to get answers to prayer. But we're in a dynamic relationship with God, and if we're actually seeking Him, He's going to lead and guide us, and He's going to show us His Word. He's going to give us the right perspective. And if you're walking in the Spirit, how many prayers, what percentage of prayers do you get answered? 100%. Now, it may take time waiting on God, and God continues to direct, but I mean, you get to the place you know God answers prayer. This is the confidence that we have of Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. You get the hearing when your heart is open and God is leading, and you get it clear. Is it ever doubtful to pray for somebody's salvation? It's not His will that any should perish, so that one you know. You got it. Is God willing for believers just to live a miserable life and never have victory? No. God wants us all to be perfect in Christ Jesus. But there's other things that you have to sometimes wait on and get wisdom and know how to pray. And I'm telling you, when you seek the Lord and you take extended times in prayer, He will guide you to confidence, and you will have one transaction of faith after another. And it may be a while before you see the answer, but you already got the answer in your heart and you're living already in confidence. I had a massive one on behalf of our church here last year. And it was one of those things I had to carry myself a little bit. But God gave me a transaction. And even though I was tempted to get under pressure about it, once you get the transaction, it's done. And God 100% met that need. Unbelievable. It's His church. And just thanking the Lord yesterday. It's just amazing. And so learn that. Remember, you see these issues with your children. Bring those to the Lord, and God will give you wisdom. And listen, it's very important that you get confidence about victory in your kids' lives, and they can see it in your eyes that you've won victories for them, even if you don't tell them per se. All right, I'm going to have to hurry here. Pridefulness. Depending on ourselves, inexperience, and that's where you need to learn how to pray. And then finally, she would have to bring this one up, laziness. Okay, that's why we're the getting up on time in the morning. And And then laziness, we just don't do it. We don't take the effort to do it. And the, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to pick up, well, let me mention a couple of things first here. Reasons we should pray are the great truths that God has given to us. Call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I quoted to you from 1 John chapter 5. And, you know, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. God means what he says. And so we'll review this next time with the final thoughts there, because I think it's very, very helpful. And she gets into the end of this chapter with what she started the first step, and that is plan ahead the night before. Get everything done the night before. Be prepared the night before. Have it in your mind and have the desire. Get up on time and then do it. That'll really help say no to Satan and the distractions and the issues that you will face. I'll tell you, ladies, every problem in your own soul that you have doesn't mean the problems go away immediately, but your own anxiety, worry, fear, insecurity, lack of understanding, whatever it is, that begins to melt away if you spend this kind of time with God every day. It does go away. And you will develop a confidence with God that will be the mark of your life. And so as you think about, oh, stuff I'm struggling with, and I feel so inadequate here, and I've got this issue over here, I can't tell you strongly enough, start with serious prayer. Follow a pattern like we talked about, and be diligent about it, seeking the Lord. And I'm telling you, you'll start seeing God work. You'll get confidence in what God, he'll show you what to pray for, and he'll lead you, and you'll see the answers, and the fear and the anxiety begin to melt away. They really do. And you realize you're in a spiritual battle, so you're not thrown by that battle, and it gets you even stirred to realize, I'm in this for the Lord. So very important, this subject here today. All right, your times together, I think, good to encourage one another in the matter of prayer, some even little tips that you've learned to be regular. And so I trust this discussion can be really helpful for you. So we'll see you next week.